Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Bloomberg Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can also hear market updates on demand? Simply tap on Bloomberg Market Minutes. The reports are updated every half hour. If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Let's get started with George Borey of UBS. He's global head of credit strategy. Are you and Maury Harris on speaking terms? There's a relative optimism to UBS economics, and here we have interest rates driving lower and lower. First of all, can the full faith and credit 10-year, can it move lower?
Yeah, absolutely, it can move lower. I think you've seen over the past couple weeks a little bit of uncertainty out of Europe, some slowdown in the data here in the U.S. and treasuries are the place to be. You see 10-year yields drop well below 1.5%.
So you're owning treasuries for yield and even potential gain?
I think you're owning treasuries for safety and for liquidity. I think your absolute gain is somewhat limited. And a little bit of interest. It's a safe place to hide. And it's, and most importantly, I think, just very liquid. So a lot of people call treasuries the flight to quality. I think of it as flight to liquidity.
So yields, we're looking at 1.56 for the 10-year now. You said well below 1.5.
It dropped below 1.5 for, you know, late last
week.
Yeah.
But it's going to do it again.
I think we could go a little bit lower. If things don't improve out of Europe, and it looks like the data is softening up here, also, the prospect of perhaps some Fed intervention could push yields meaningfully below 1.5%.
This is the key question as we go into the weekend and we read through the weekend. The idea of rates going lower because of crisis versus rates going lower because of slow economy, disinflation, which is it?
I think it's both right now. You have a clear crisis out of Europe, a credit crisis across the board, which is forcing investors into safe haven securities. And then in addition to that, what we've seen over the past few weeks is that the growth story in the U.S. is clearly decelerating. The jobs market was the highlight, but I think the follow-through data is also pointing to slower growth.
And now we go where we fear to tread. George, you write like Patrick O'Brien. These Patricks, your folks, this is Patrick O'Brien of the Napoleonic Wars. George writes in paragraphs that are like 2 pages long. You've just put out a sleeper on capital requirements in Europe. Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Does Jamie Dimon like Basel III?
I don't think any bankers like Basel III. I think the reality is that the offshoot of the credit crisis in this country from a few years ago, and the credit crisis currently running through Europe, is that the banking system's being forced to recapitalize. That's across the board. It's been imposed by regulators, and it's getting reinforced by new proposals. And that's basically what we saw this week, both out of Europe, as you mentioned, the EU Commission, but also in this country as well, as the Fed mentioned yesterday. All banks in the U.S. are going to be asked to comply with Basel III. That means more capital on their balance sheet. It means better liquidity provisions. And for some of the larger banks, even more onerous capital holdings.
And this is even small banks. I mean,
small-town
banks that never heard of a derivative.
Correct. Yeah. Top to bottom. Mm-hmm.
That's the percentage as a big bank?
For the baseline Basel III requirements, yes. The bigger banks will have to hold extra capital, but basic Basel III baseline will be, at least as it's proposed, across the board for all banks.
George Borey with us from UBS. It's Shameless Plug Friday, so let's get out in front of this, George. May I suggest the Swiss banks are out in front of this, like the Union Bank of Switzerland?
UBS is out in front of this. We do have a considerable amount of capital, and I think that's a big point.
But a year or so ago, they just loaded the boat with cap. They just said enough.
Recapitalization of our bank's been a top
priority. Why is it a struggle in the United States?
I think higher capital rates tend to slow returns on equity. More capital means slower returns, and I think a lot of banks try and resist that.
Let me get you back to interest rates for a minute.
Please.
Here. You're pricing in a third year of fairly strong economic evidence early in the year, and then a fizzle out later in the year.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right. I think we saw earlier in this year, we saw a little bit of a bounce. I think it's largely being attributed right now to seasonals, as you saw the labor market and the economy do a little bit better. As the year has unwound, I think one of the big surprises has been the undermining of confidence. corporations' confidence has waned and has dropped pretty rapidly over the last several weeks. And with that, you know, the economic data has come down as well. So it looks like we're going to see another lull in the second, perhaps the third quarter. We recently reduced our growth forecast for second quarter growth down to 1.5%. And we're hoping that you're going to see a modest reacceleration in the second half. Now, whether the Fed needs to act to help spur that along is still an open question.
To stay in full faith and credit, we'll talk about where we can get yield here in a bit. George Borey, when you look at the yield curve, and you know we as a standard quote the 2s10 spread 130 basis points this morning. That's a long way from 200 beeps. Is it a steep yield curve now? Is 130 beeps relatively steep?
I'd say it's modestly steep. It's not super steep. It wouldn't suggest that you're seeing a very steep yield curve, say north of 200 basis points would tell you that the economic backdrop's a little bit stronger. The flattening of the curve lately would tell you that people have become a little bit more conservative and a little bit more defensive.
Is the surprise for the next 6 months an even flatter curve? I hear very few people talking about that.
I think that would be the surprise. That could come from one of two reasons. Either the data, continues to weaken.
Real economy data
weakens. Or perhaps, you know, the Fed decides to push long-term yields down even further.
And this is critical, folks. Does it do it with a peg 2-year? Does the 10-year yield come down while the 2-year stays the same? What are the dynamics of the 2-year, given all the distortions out there right now?
That's a tough one to predict, just because of all the technicals in the front end. If the Fed were to continue with Operation Twist, where they're selling front end and buying long end, that might provide a little bit of a lift. But 2 years already pretty low.
Well, what did you take away from Chairman Bernanke's testimony yesterday?
I got a nap in.
He didn't tell us anything new, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, was anybody really... Yeah, looking for a declaration.
Mr. Sanders was all wound up.
I think what he told you is we're ready to help if necessary. I think the Fed has a limited number of tools to use right now. They don't want to sort of spend the bullets, so to speak, prematurely. And we have some very weighty issues that they need to consider. I think what he told you, though, the U.S. Fed is focused on U.S. policy. And the economy in the U.S. is showing signs of deceleration. It's not contracting, but it's slowing. And so they stand ready to support the market if they need to. And they also have to help the orderly sort of creation of liquidity in the market, which is showing signs of stress.
Well, showing signs of stress, but the distinction here from the recent crisis we had is you don't see the short-term market frozen up like it was before.
Right.
That's simply because the central banks have stepped in with a vengeance, right?
I think that's absolutely true. Whether it's here or in Europe and other parts of the world, you know, the Fed and central banks have been the primary liquidity providers. And that's helped reengage the market, but it does sort of disintermediate away from the private sector.
You were mentioning a most interesting weekend ahead, Greek elections 2 weekends from now. What makes this weekend so important?
Well, this weekend, I think folks are going to be looking towards Europe again to see what comes out of Spain. There's expectations are building that the Spanish may ultimately announce a funding package for its banking sector. And, the terms and conditions of that kind of bailout, I think it's going to be critically important.
Well, there's a conference call of European finance ministers again this week, and they're going to talk about, you know, Spain had its credit rating downgraded to a couple of cuts above junk.
Correct.
Which is probably no big surprise.
Yep.
And they're trying to line up outside money for the banking system.
Yep.
Which means money from Germany, probably.
Well, it's from one of the centrally funded systems, perhaps the ESM or the EFSF, which are the two central funds.
Is that printing money?
The money's earmarked for bailout purposes, so it is a pass-through. It's not sort of a direct printing of money, but you can think about it as putting, central funds into the banking system. It doesn't necessarily kind of roll right out into the economy, but it would help bolster Spain's banks.
Let's switch gears and try to find yield. If I just don't want to buy the stock market, don't give me the dividend growth baloney, fine. If I'm in credit, how much of other credit has moved with this flight to quality?
Credit's held up reasonably well. Investment grade corporate bonds, so those bonds rated sort of AAA to BBB, currently yield about 3.25% on average. And those yields.
So it's a double of full faith and credit.
Double, correct. And have held pretty steady over the past couple of weeks. Treasuries have rallied, and corporate bond yields for investment grade have come down a little bit.
A little bit. Can they come, again, a surprise for the summer? Can they just drive even lower?
I think they can. If as I mentioned before, if treasuries, let's say treasuries drop a little bit, and the economy slows but doesn't collapse, then I would expect that spread, the spread differential between corporates and treasuries to narrow. You could see corporate bond yields for investment grade below 3%. I think you could see 25, maybe 50 basis points of tightening.
Yeah, for people driving off the road because they can't visualize the math, you're seeing 20 or 25 basis points of lower yield and thus higher corporate bond prices, while we see a 5, maybe a 7 basis point move in the full faith and credit?
That's about right, yeah.
That was dazzling, Ken.
Yeah,
can I go home now?
Yeah.
I think the other part of the market, though, that it's been very, very popular has been the high-yield bond market. And we've had a lot of investors over the course of this year and the past few years have moved into high-yield. Now, a high-yield bond fund typically yields anywhere from 7 to 9%, depending on the construct of the fund.
And now, is that all out of line with the actual risk?
Not necessarily. Yeah. I think the yields are low based on the backdrop of the broader economy. Spreads are very consistent. The bond spread, which is roughly about 700 basis points today, is very consistent with the type of economic backdrop that we have. So I would say the yield looks a little bit low, but the spreads, the risk premium, if you will, seems very consistent with a slow growth, kind of low inflationary kind of environment.
You don't spend too much time talking to mere mortals like us. You talk to the gods of the pension and insurance funds and people with retirement accounts. They go, George, this is all great, but I got to make 6%.
Yeah.
I got to make 7% net clean of fees.
Yeah.
What do they do?
I think increasingly they are allocating money into the higher yielding parts of the market, high yield, commercial mortgage-backed securities, other type of fixed income securities that have higher yields. So they're trying to raise the average yield on their portfolio. 6% is tough to come by when the government is only paying you 1.5%.
Right.
I think many of those investors are falling short of that target yield.
Are they delusional in thinking that they're going to have capital preservation while they search for that higher yield?
It's wishful thinking. I think you have to assume you're going to lose some principal when you're reaching for that kind of yield. And, you know, that's particularly true in corporates, but also in other parts of the market as well.
We've got a lot of predictions from you, George. Without asking what sort of inflation rate you're building in to all these predictions, what are you looking for?
On the inflation front, we think roughly about a 2% inflation is kind of our estimate for this year. Maybe it's running a little bit above that, but say 2 to 2.5% inflation we expect pretty much for the course of this year and into next.
Mm. What about mortgage rates?
Well, I mean, mortgage rates
are 3.7 or so now.
Yeah. I mean, they're following treasuries with a little bit of a lag. I think we saw mortgage rates come down with the sharp drop in treasuries, but they do lag the market a bit. So the pass through to the consumers, takes a little bit of time. I think treasury yields would have to fall dramatically to get a meaningful drop in treasury rates in mortgage rates from this point.
Okay, but quickly, if I haven't refinanced yet, I've got plenty of time.
I think you have some time. Yes.
George Borey, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.